lot of determination. I used the struggle, especially growing up down there on Huff, just to motivate me. I knew I wanted more out of life. A lot of my friends that I ran with down there are either incarcerated or deceased. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, but I thank God that I was able to make it out.
There you have it, folks. The familiar sound. Shoes squeaking on the floor, the ball bouncing, and kids hustling to be the best they can be in their given sport, obviously the sport of basketball. I'm here at Rhodes High School here in Cleveland, and today we're talking to head coach Sean Spencer, who has a great story and is an outstanding motivator of young people and an outstanding coach. Let's dig right into our combo with Coach Sean Spencer here in Cleveland. Sean, it's always great to run into you, seeing you out and about, and really happy with your success here at Rhodes High School. I wouldn't say it's a long time coming because you've really had a lot of talent here over the years and you're a real good coach. But what's it feel like to be coming off of a very, very successful season?
Feels good, JT. The energy is still good here in the building. Kids are excited. The community is excited. We're excited to put this team out here on the floor. So we've been working hard this summer. I got a few guys in, a few new guys. I have to get, you know, acquainted to our style of play and how we do things here at Rhodes. But overall, we're excited to get this thing going this year.
I should kind of warn folks that are listening, if you're tuning into this podcast to hear a lot of technical basketball talk with Sean, we're talking about stuff that's really important, life issues and success, which you're enjoying with your kids here.
Mm-hmm.
You're a Cleveland kid. Tell us about your early years.
Early years, JT, I went to Empire Elementary. So I'll give you the rundown. From elementary, kindergarten, I went to Wade Park. First grade, went to John W. Raper. Second through fourth grade, I went to Wade Park. Fifth grade, I went to Jamison. Sixth through eighth, I went to Thomas Jefferson. 9 through 12, I went to Collinwood. In those early years, you can see there was a lot of moving around, JT.
Yeah, I was going to detect that away.
Yeah, for sure. So my mom did what she could. Section 8, you know, get some assistance. We stayed in the projects down on Huff. Things were hard.
Yeah.
Things were hard. We seen a lot of stuff. One night we were at the house and we heard a loud boom outside. And my mom's car, it was a police chase. And my mom's car had got totaled during a police chase. End of the chase. And I was literally just sitting on the car like 5 or 10 minutes before the accident happened. So just fortunate, you know, God has been good. And we've been able to figure our way out of there.
Yeah, and it wasn't easy.
It definitely wasn't easy. A lot of hard work, a lot of prayer, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of determination. I used the struggle, especially growing up down there on Huff, just to motivate me. I knew I wanted more out of life. A lot of my friends that I ran with down there are either incarcerated or deceased.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but I thank God that I was able to make it out. And then you know, I think when I moved with my dad and seeing my older brothers, stepbrothers and sister, push themselves, you know, in the educational world, go to college, you know, try to find some form of success, it really motivated me to be better.
Why do you think it is where there may be a kid who's 11 or 12 and they'll say the exact words that you said, go to college? It resonates with one kid, but it doesn't with the other.
Exposure, JT. I think that's a big thing, exposure. Being around some people who have actually went to college. You know, it's always cool to say, I want to go to college, but if your mom never went, your dad never went, no sisters, brothers, uncles, cousins, aunties, and you don't see that,
yeah,
you don't get a real feel for it. You know, you don't get a chance to touch a campus and go to a college basketball, football, volleyball game on a college campus. It's huge, just the exposure of seeing that, you know, in real life.
And kids don't get an opportunity sometimes in the inner city schools to be exposed to individuals that have kind of had that worldview, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. And I think now we're doing a far better job of exposing our kids to these things. Even now here at the school I work with, Rhodes College and Career Academy, we're exposing students to both college and or career. And exposing those students to college, I know we went to visit to Ohio State, The Ohio State University, University of Toledo, Bowling Green. They go on the Black College Tour in the spring. There's different opportunities just to get our kids on campus. And then shout out to Say Yes. Say Yes gives our students an opportunity to where they'll cover tuition And then it'll be up to you to figure out the rest as far as room and board. But they'll cover whatever your grants don't cover with tuition here in the city of Cleveland. As long as you're a city of Cleveland, Cleveland resident, stay in a Cleveland school for 4 years, you're covered under the Say Yes program.
What individuals would you point towards that were big influences to keep you going the way, the direction you came?
Some of my mentors early on was a guy named Ray at my church, Pastor Carr at my former church as well. Those guys were very instrumental. Just making sure I did things like go get a haircut on Saturday mornings, pull my pants up, wear a belt, representing myself in the correct manner, and then also just showing me what solid men look like in their house. And then my mentor, Antoine Robinson, as I got a little older, Pastor Willis, and then Major Jinx, Major Thomas Jinx from Collinwood High School, played a very vital role in me being successful. Some form of success anyway here in the city.
What kinds of things would he do with you, for you, or motivate you to accomplish in your life?
So to be honest, JT, at times I wouldn't go to class.
Okay.
And Major Jinx would come all the way to his classroom was on the third floor. If you ever been to Collinwood, Collinwood was a very
massive school.
He would come all the way down to the basement. I was hanging in the classroom, no names, please, in which I shouldn't have been. And Major Jinx would come down there.
It's okay.
Also, when I got to undergrad, and I'll share this story, it's real personal. I got to undergrad, my mom received a bill back here at home. I didn't know anything about it. It was like close to $3,000. And I know my mom didn't have $3,000 just sitting around.
Stopped her in her tracks.
Yep,
sure.
For sure. So she's like, hey, baby, either you get a job, you know, come on back home, or, you know, you can just come back home and try to go to school. I had moved into Toledo. I had everything up there already. I called back home. I said, Major Jinx, I'm in a problem. I got an issue. I'm not going to be able to stay at school. And he said, what's going on? You know, meet me at your house. Just come home this weekend. Meet me at your house and let's figure something out. Major Jinx wrote me a check for $3,000 that Sunday and told me to go back up to school, get my books, and make sure I'm successful. So it happened in the fall, and guess what happened in the spring, JT? Same thing. Major Jinx again comes over, make sure I got everything I need, wrote another check for $3,000, make sure I have my books, and took care of that bill. In doing so, I took care of my part too, though. I went up there and I made the dean's list my freshman year of college. From then, I was on an academic scholarship at the University of Toledo the final 3 years. Major Jinx made a real-life investment in me. You know, he saw something in me, and he helped me out tremendously get a head start with life.
Sean, they say that, you know, one good turn for someone, then that can turn into so much more for other people. I think we're seeing it now with you coaching young individuals, trying to be a positive influence for them.
Absolutely. My guys know there's nothing I won't do. I'm big on family. I preach family. We break our huddle, Rams on three, family on six. There's nothing that I won't do for my guys, you know. I had a guy early on in my coaching career who got into some trouble. Some trouble legally. He called me at 3 a.m, you know, hey, coach, you know, something went wrong, you know, long story. We wrapped our arms around that kid, and he did make it to graduation.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
He had to take care of what he had to take care of, but he made it to graduation. And I've just been able, honestly, JT, we got a lot of success stories, you know, pre-COVID, after COVID. You know, guys just really buying into what we have going on over here.
Yeah, you have a great thing going here, great success. But I don't think a lot of that stuff takes place for you as a coach if you didn't have Major in your life or other individuals. You mentioned a lot of people. When you were talking about the folks that were big influence and they were church related.
Mm-hmm.
And how big is your faith in terms of that?
Oh, every morning, even, you know, every morning I wake up and I got a gospel playlist that I'll share on social media. I have no problem sharing who I am. It's a big part of who I am. So just keeps me grounded, keeps me focused, letting me know, you know, at any given moment, you know, life can happen. Mm-hmm. So how do you handle life happening is the thing. And music is kind of a place, gospel music is kind of a place that keeps me grounded. I attend church regularly. I try to anyway. And again, keeps me grounded and keep my eyes on what I know my success comes from.
Let's get to the origins of you as a coach. Where did that come from?
Okay, so my very first year out of undergrad, I volunteered at South High School in 2009 under Coach Bolden and Coach Daryl Forrest. They allowed me to volunteer. Was there every day, didn't miss a day, as if I was, you know, on full-time staff, just really trying to soak in everything and learn. In doing so, one of my former coaches at Collinwood High School, Louis Moore, saw me, saw I was back home. I spoke at an event for the University of Toledo, at Cleveland Brown Stadium, and Coach Moore had brought his students down there. But there we exchanged numbers. He told me how proud of me he was, and told me we'd be in contact. In doing so, I didn't know that he was, you know, looking to make a change with his JV coach.
Oh, wow.
In which he did in 2010. I applied, interviewed, and I haven't missed a day here since.
That is amazing. Yeah. And did you have any idea that you was that in the back of your mind? I want to be a coach. Was, you know, were there coaches that you looked up to?
Absolutely. Yeah. So when I went to undergrad JT, I wanted to be a lawyer. My undergrad is in criminal justice. And I came home and I worked for YOU in the summertime. Dominic Murray was our lead guy with that Craig Dorn down at YOU. And in doing so, I just fell in love with kids who look like me, who come from similar backgrounds that I did. And then I also played for some of the greatest coaches, I think, in Northeast Ohio. Coach Kenny Vanna at Collinwood High School, Coach Dennis Winham at Collinwood High School, and then Coach Louis Moore at Collinwood High School. And in doing so, this just showed us, you know, we didn't have the most talent in the city, but we competed on every level. You know, my junior year, we make it to the regional finals. We were a game away from the state championship. And it was the Final Four, excuse me, and losing to the eventual state champion in Camp McKinley in 2004. So Ken Vanna took a bunch of city kids that no one had heard about, and we just worked. And Coach Vanna was a genius with game day situations, making adjustments on the fly, and then preparedness. Preparation was always key. Coach Vanna, I mean, honestly, people don't know, a lot of success comes from this, from just going to watch the other team play. You know, getting a good feel, getting a good scout, seeing what they do well, and seeing if you can kind of take away what they do well and doing what you do well.
And what makes a great teammate?
A great teammate is kind of that we before me mantra. I've had some groups where we were loaded that year with Jamal Sumlin at the point guard, Marlon Landingham at the two, Marion Dickerson at the three, Keyshawn Hall at the four, and D'Angelo Williams at the five. Four out of those five kids are playing basketball. Three of them are playing Division I. At some level, whether JUCO or Division I NCAA. And those kids can really play. So in doing that, when I was calling coaches, you know, they didn't really know me just yet, so they didn't know if I knew what I was looking at. But those kids kind of, you know, removed themselves and allowed the team to be the bigger picture. And we had some success with that group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in this culture today, there's more and more kids maybe moving from a school to another one. The AAU, maybe that's the influence. How do you preach, you know, keeping the group you have together?
It's hard, JT. It's funny you mentioned that. We've we lost our best player from last year. Wish the kid well, but it's just the society we live in now. And it stems, honestly, I think, from the NBA. You see those guys get upset and they jump around. $1 million guys, though, so they're allowed to kind of,
those are their role models.
Yeah, yeah. Put their foot down and say, hey, I'm not playing here no more. And kids kind of emulate what they see. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, I mean, you can't really be upset with a kid who's 16, 17 years old making a decision like that. You wish him well and just move forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your team this year, it's really promising for you.
I agree. This is probably the most depth I've had. I've had some really good groups. You know, we had a strong starting five with that Jamal Sumlin group. But as we got deeper into our bench, it would be a struggle to find some solid minutes. You know, great kids, but just struggle to play that game at a high level. And this year, JT, we have about 10, 11 guys that can play.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to kind of see what that looks like as I figure out rotations and subs and all that good stuff moving forward.
When you were talking earlier about exposure, kids have to be exposed to things they want to be, want to strive for, and you gave some great examples. I'm kind of curious to get the types of things that you've been able to do for kids that are, you know, starting up the first rung of that ladder, if it will.
Yep. So partner here, our freshman coach, Coach Brewer, has a thing called CTAG, Closing the Achievement Gap. We're taking our entire team. We play December 3rd. We're taking our entire team December 2nd to the University of Toledo to watch Toledo play George Mason.
Okay.
One of my former players plays with George Mason, so we'll be able to check him out. But just to get them on a college campus, to see a college game, I'm sure I got some connections to Toledo. We may be able to peek our head in the locker room, got to get a feel for what Coach TK does before and after games, and just get that opportunity to get our kids out of the city.
Yeah.
You know, some of our kids who live on the west side never make it to the east side. Some of our kids live on the east side never make it to the west side. So in doing that, this gives us a chance to leave the county, go over to Lucas County, travel together, bond together, and just kind of be one with each other.
Yeah.
We'll get a campus tour. We'll do a campus information session. University of Toledo is paying for our dinner, and then we're going to go to the game. So just, again, an exposure opportunity for our kids, and that's an opportunity to give back, JT, just to show them something different.
Very cool. And I can remember doing a podcast interview with Pierre Woods, Glenville, mm-hmm. University of Michigan, Super Bowl champ with the Patriots, and about how his life was incredibly changed when Ted Ginn started his bus tour, if you mm-hmm. will. And Ted Ginn over Glenville, for those that aren't aware of him, if you're listening from out of town or overseas or whatever, one of the most charismatic, great people that you'll find leading young people anywhere in this world. And he saw fit to have the vision to say, these kids have talent, they have hopes, they have dreams. Let's show them, let's show Michigan, let's show Ohio State, let's show Toledo what a Ted Ginn Jr. is like, what a Pierre Woods is, Dante Whitner, mm-hmm. all these young kids who went on to have great careers mm-hmm. In the NFL. And I just think it does not happen for the most part unless there is someone with vision and that pureness in their heart to help others.
I totally agree. I also did a stint where I worked at Ginn Academy.
Yeah.
So I sat under Coach Ginn for 2 years while I was in grad school. And I just watched some of his systems that he has in place just to make sure kids are successful. I honestly will say Coach Ginn won't give up on a kid. There's no giving up on a kid. Even if a kid does something that you think is just totally ridiculous, he's going to reprimand you. There's going to be some consequences, but he's not going to give up on you.
Yeah.
And I took that from Coach Ginn. I took just the hard work. You got guys coming in at 6, 7 a.m. working out before workouts, before practice, before individual sessions, just want to be better. Mm-hmm. And when those kids, find that, oh my goodness, I'm seeing results. This coach is talking to me. Coach Ginn has set me up on this bus tour. I get in front of this guy, get in front of that young lady, just to showcase my talent. Coach Ginn does a wonderful job. I totally appreciate Coach. Honestly, he set the bar for us to kind of just make sure we're helping kids at all costs.
And yet they win a title, and 2 days later, I'm talking to him in his office, and he's worried about not having the ability to be around the kids, because as much as you pour into a young person with all the tough stuff around them mm-hmm. and influence them, there can be the time away from you and your coaches where that depleted somewhat.
For sure.
And there's a big worry.
Funny you say that, because a mom recently this year, she called me out the blue and said, Coach Spence, I just thank you because my son is so tired after practice. He has no energy to do anything else. He hasn't gotten in any trouble, no weird calls, no funny text messages, no visits from law enforcement, because he's dog tired when he gets home. And honestly, we don't do it on purpose, but it's good for them to be involved with something at whatever school they attend to make sure they're staying out of that trouble. That trouble is so easy to find and so hard to get out of.
And it comes at you when you least, not necessarily least expect it, but you're just not aware that this influence that isn't good for a young person is coming their way. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, over there, there's something else. Mm-hmm. It's like, like a video game where the stuff's coming at you and you got to keep shooting it away.
Correct. I mean, again, growing up where I grew up, I've seen unfortunate people murdered, drug deals gone bad, drug deals gone well, I guess if you want to call it that. And people have succumbed to those, that lifestyle, and it sucks sometimes. It's a funny story, JT. When I was in undergrad, I took a class called penology, which was the study of the penal system here in the state of Ohio. We visited 10 adult facilities and 5 juvenile facilities.
Okay.
In doing so, I was the only African-American in the class. I was the only African-American male in the class. We would visit prisons, JT, and people would be like, my nickname was Big Baby or Spence in high school. They'd be like, Spence, Big Baby, what's up? Inmates.
Yeah.
So my classmates were wondering, how do you know these people and you're not in here with them? And my professor even pulled me in. He and I end up, because I took his class my freshman year, intro to constitutional law class, and it was a struggle. He didn't play no games. By the time I was a senior, he had took me under his wing. I had got a traffic citation in Toledo. He was a lawyer in Toledo. He took care of it pro bono, didn't charge me a thing. Professor, slips my mind now, his last name. He did pass on, but he was a really, really, really good guy at the University of Toledo.
Take me a little further, the study of the penal system, what you found out.
It's not for me.
Yeah, that's first, obviously.
That's the first thing I found out. It's not for me. The restrictions, the facilities, the money, JT, it's big, big money in the criminal justice system, in incarceration. The private facilities that are being bought from the state, You know, you need inmates. JT, if I buy something, I need people to fill this place up. So, in fact, we got to get arrests. We got to get, you know, stop and frisk. I need to be in these neighborhoods where these high crime things are happening. I need to lock these people up so I can make money on the back end. You got guys working in prison, JT, and they make $8 a month. Working 8 hours a day, you know, 5 days a week, and make $8 a month. So, another, you know, how can I frame this correctly? Another version of slavery, to be honest. Guys are working for nothing, guys and women. You know, women population is growing ridiculously as well. And unfortunately, a lot of these people are coming from the city.
Yeah, and they are. And yet, the way it's set up, it doesn't seem, in my mind, to not as much rehabilitation versus just housing.
Just housing, keep you there for a while. And then two, in the state of Ohio, JT, we lock up more people in Cuyahoga County than all of the other major cities combined. Toledo, Columbus, Dayton, Cincinnati, Youngstown. We lock up more people in Cuyahoga County than all of those counties combined, which is something to say about what we have going on here in our city. So being in this position to catch these young people while they're young, to kind of push them away from that, or even get jobs in that field. I have a former player, Dariante Stewart, who's was a former state trooper. Now he's a cop in Savannah. I have another kid, Jacquees Atkins, who's a correctional officer down in Dayton. So just, again, exposure to those careers and showing them something different, other than being on the other side of that the glass when you go into those facilities.
What is that like when you get responses from the two of the gentlemen that you just mentioned or others who have come through the public school system? They've gone on, they were successful, mm-hmm. are successful, and they realize that you're that bright light, one of the bright lights when they were a kid.
So I talked to Luck and Jacquees. Luck probably 2 to 3 times a month, and Jacquees at least once a month, just to check in, check temperature, see how those guys are doing, and just be glad for their success. Those kids come from a struggle, so not to share too much of their personal business,
sure.
But they come from some hard situations, and they both made it out, and they're doing well. So now when they come into town, they speak to the guys, you know, they make sure Jacquees is always calling, hey, coach, anybody need anything up there? Because when Jacquees was in school, Jacquees was one of those guys who may have needed a few things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's always trying to give back. Lucky came up here last year and took one of the guys to the store and just let him let him spend whatever he wanted to make sure he was successful. So those guys, man, really play a big role in this, giving back. You know, don't forget where you come from. When you do make it, you know, don't forget where you come from. So I appreciate those guys.
Yeah, and it comes with what you've been saying during this whole interview and realizing what an impact someone like Ted Ginn did or Major had on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, there's some great examples of that. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, as we get to this point in the interview, let's pivot to looking forward, not just your team, the Rams, look like it's going to have are going to have a real good year. What are some of the other, who are some of the other teams that you've got to be wary about?
Where in our conference is always Glenville. You know, Glenville and I have played in the last, I believe, two city championships. The one we missed because of some paperwork we forgot to turn in here at our school. 1-1. You know, they won one, we won one. East Tech, Coach Brett Moore is back at East Tech, so they're going to be good. Coach Jeff Pryor took the job this year at Collinwood. Jeff Pryor he was the coach at MLK. MLK had 30 boys in the entire school, and he would make a run every single year, finding, you know, 8-9 guys out of those 30 boys to
That's
make a
coach.
Run. Yeah, Coach Pryor does a job. So they're going to be tough as well. Garrett Morgan won the other side of the division, so they're going to be moving up. It's one division again now, so we'll see how that goes. And it's always tough to go on that southeast side of Cleveland and play, whether it's Kennedy or John Adams. Something about our kids don't get up for that game when we go over there. So that'd be difficult in our conference. Outside of our conference, you know, the Saints, Eds and Iggy, always tough. Brecksville, always tough.
How's Brush this year?
Brush, we're playing Brush. We're going to play Coach Mason and his guys. We're going over there. First time we've played them since I've been here. Coach Mason does a hell of a job as well. Excuse my language. Does a great job over there with his crew. They find a way to win. He get guys to school. So that's most important.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, it's just been a real pleasure to sit down and chat with you. We've known each other a long time. I've always admired the work that you do and the positive, upbeat nature that you carry yourself. And I think you're a great leader and really proud to know you as a friend.
Appreciate you, JT. Same here. Same here. Appreciate your work at Fox 8. I know you've since transitioned. I hope you're enjoying that. And look forward to just seeing you. Definitely will share the podcast. And I look forward to continue to listen to your work.
I appreciate that much. Thanks, Ben.
Absolutely, JT.
Okay.
Thanks very much to Coach Sean Spencer of Rhodes High School, making a huge difference for the youth of the city of Cleveland. And by the way, Sean referenced the great coach Ted Ginn, who has impacted so many lives in his own way, in season 2, episode 9. That was on December 7th of 2022. Check the archives. I sat down and chatted with Ted about his state football championship team at Glenville and so much more. The emphasis on that episode was on faith, football, family, and frogs. Check it out to see exactly what we're meaning there. And if you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and or Spotify or other podcast platforms. Of course, you will get the pods each and every week. We post on Mondays. And next week, we are going to talk to Rob Pope. He is the incredibly optimistic ultra runner and author from Liverpool, England. Now, his story is this. You, of course, recall the great movie Forrest Gump. Well, he wrote a book called Becoming Forrest. He recreated all of the long runs that Tom Hanks did in that movie. You can see him running to the East Coast, to a lighthouse, Monument Valley, way out on the West Coast, all parts of the South, 15,000 plus miles that this gentleman logged going across America, pushing a pram, as they would say, or here in the States, just a stroller, and with all of his stuff, of course, on it. He is incredibly optimistic, and he has, by the way, a high opinion on America. In some ways, it's higher than the opinion that many Americans have on their own country. And what's his next challenge? We will explore that when you join me next time on Telich Talks. Thanks for listening. We'll see you the next time.